And now, Who Done What? Starring Jerry Colonna. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the Army. From New York City, the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force bring you a new mirth-provoking whodunit written especially for and starring that inimitable comic of stage, screen, radio, and television, Professor Jerry Colonna.
This transcribed feature is another in the series of
The Voice of the Army. Our scene opens in the New York office of the Colonna Crime Chaser Corporation. Miss Phoebe Plott, secretary to the president, morosely masticates her bubble gum and languidly reaches for the ringing telephone as our curtain rises.
Good morning, Colonna Crime Chaser Corporation. We catching for cash.
Miss Plott, Colonna speaking.
Oh, Professor Colonna, I've been so worried. Where are you?
In a fish market on Fulton Street.
What in the world are you doing?
Oh, just floundering around.
You poor fish. Now tell me, really, where are you?
Staten Island. Be in the office in 5 minutes.
But, Professor, it's over an hour's trip from Staten Island to the office.
Walking? Phoebe, have your notebook and pencil ready. I'll be right over to dictate this week's crime caper, which I call The Case of Confusion.
Ready for the report, Miss Black?
Uh-huh.
The title, The Case of Confusion. The date, yesterday's. To Miss Beverly Dale, apartment 101, Brighton Arms Apartments, New York City. Dear Miss Dale, at 9 a.m. today...
Good morning, Colonna Crime Chaser Corporation. We catch him for KS.
I just got to speak to Professor Colonna. Please see to it. I just must speak to him. It's terribly urgent. It's so important.
Colonna speaking.
Professor Colonna, this is Beverly Dale, and I'm in desperate trouble. Could you come over to apartment 101, Brighton Arms?
Uh-huh. A beautiful brunette in need of help. Be over in 10 minutes.
Not a brunette, Professor. A blonde.
5 minutes. My hat, Miss Plotts. My hat.
It's on your head, Professor Colonna, and I hope you come back with it. Your head, I mean.
Sorry I took so long. Couldn't find my head. My hat.
Goodness, you're here, Professor Colonna. I'm so frightened.
Colonna's in charge, my chick, so leave everything to me.
But, Professor, I haven't told you what my trouble is. You haven't even asked.
I don't ask questions. I just have fun. Well, besides, I know all about this. Radar. This brush hides more than my mush. Why, right now in a doorway across the street looks a little man carrying a parcel done up in brown paper. He's pretty well done up, too. Brushed him with my fender as I drove up in front.
That must be one of the men who've been following me. Actually, they've been chasing me. Two little brown men, Orientals, I believe, and they take turns. But always the same brown package. So far, I've been able to elude them by dodging in and out of stores, powder rooms, taxis, and by several good quarter-mile sprints.
And a fine-looking filly, too. Tell me, have you ever gone in the 6-furlong distance? How are you in the mud? What about the Derby? Can't you feel the excitement of that bluegrass crowd, the mint juleps, the excitement in the paddock? Thousands of people, thousands of mint juleps, millions of people lining the rail, millions of mint juleps. Oh, my York, Kentucky home, far away. Water, please, a glass of water.
Of course, Professor Colonna. Just a moment, please.
Where's the mint julep? Thank you, my dear.
Oh, the sun shines up right in my old cap. Where were we? Oh, yes.
You were telling me about the two little brown men with a little brown package. Tell me, did either of these men ever get close enough to you to say anything?
Well, not really. Oh, once in a revolving door, one of the men was two sections behind me, and he shouted something that sounded like, "Look, Missy, no tick."
No tick? Ah, Miss Dale, that can mean only one thing to a veteran crime chaser, a time bomb. A bomb that won't start ticking until they can talk to you. But what could you know that these Celestials treasure so highly?
Professor Colonna, there's something I believe you're entitled to know. A family secret. But first, there's something about you that intrigues me. Will you answer a question for me?
Anything, my beauty, anything.
Why do you wear such a long, large mustache?
Shh, Bev, that too is a family secret. It's all because my brother, N.O. Colonna, Pa insisted that he be given those initials instead of a first name, because when Ma saw him for the first time, she moaned, "No, no, Gadzooks, no, not this, and Jerry, too." Well, I've got this mustache because N.O. left home 10 years ago.
But what did your brother leaving home 10 years ago have to do with your mustache?
He took the razor with him.
And left you in a lather. Oh, Professor, that's silly.
Silly, Lily Gad woman, don't you realize the terrific handicap that I have carried all these years? They say a man's face is his fortune. If that's true, B.O. Plenty and I are spotting the rest of the world half a face. But enough of the calamity of Colonna. Let's dance with the skeletons in your closet.
Well, my secret, and one I fear that's caused the appearance of the little brown men, goes back many years ago, 10 to be exact.
Your mystery and my mustache.
Yes, 10 years. You see, Father at that time was professor of psychology at State University, and because of his intense interest in the psychology of the Oriental races, was invited to accompany the university field research expedition on their tour of the Orient.
Where is your father now?
He and Mother are vacationing in South America. Oh, if only they were here. Perhaps Father would return that fat little jade statue and the little brown men would go away.
Fat little jade statue? Fat little jade statue? Well, zounds, woman, could that little statue be a priceless jade idol? Shades of Charlie Chan.
Professor Colonna, wait with the dictation, please. I just broke the point of my pencil. I get so excited.
Plots, your pencils disturb me. Sharpen up, kid. Sharpen up.
Please, Professor, please. I am ready to continue, Professor Colonna.
Where were we?
Why, right here in the office, Professor. You were dictating to me, and I got so excited the point on my pencil snapped right off. And I said, "Professor Colonna, wait with the dictation, please. I just broke the point of my pencil. I get so excited." And you said, "Plots, your..."
Never mind.
"Pencils disturbed."
Never mind. Miss Plots, kindly read the last sentence of the report.
Well, Professor Colonna, I just misinterpreted your wishes. To continue, you had just said, quote, "Your mention of a little jade statue coupled with a mysterious Orientals immediately brought to mind a similar case handled by my capable colleague, Mr. Chan," unquote.
All right. Please take this. I paused to consider what Charlie Chan would do if confronted by a situation such as this and realized that it called for immediate action, action of the cyclonic, colossal Colonna type. And Colonna sprang into action. Having decided that our only recourse was to confront these little people, I girdled my loins. That girdle. And opened the door to sally forth to the fray, hoping that Sally would be there. Wish me luck, Mr. Hale. I'm going out and ogle that Oriental.
Oh, do be careful, Professor. If he's after that idol, as you say, one death will mean nothing to them. Please be very, very careful.
Oh, it'll be over in a moment, Miss Dale. I'm going to rush down this hall, rush down the stairs, rush out the lobby, rush across the street, and rush into the doorway that shelters the Oriental. Then we'll see what his game is. Goodbye. Goodbye. Hello there.
Hello. Me no speak good English so good.
Confidentially, mine's a little strained through this brush.
Honorable Professor Colonna, we in China think you smelly, smelly funny.
Let's not get out of character. The correct pronunciation is very, very.
Oh, so sorry, please. Now you wish what, please?
I want to know what you want with my client, Miss Dale.
Missy Dale, Missy Dale. Her reason for my presence in this country.
I thought as much. Now tell me, what is it you're after? Is it the idol? If it is, you'll have to wait till Mr. Dale returns from South America.
Not I, me very, very busy here on affair of the Wong Tong.
Well, if you're not concerned with the idol, why did the Wong Tong send two of your wrong gongs here to haunt Miss Dale?
We haunt Missy Dale. We haunt Missy. Oh, don't be silly. Missy Billy, fast Billy. Only tried to catch to return belongings of father, Mr. Dale.
Well, if that's all, Gadzooks, give me that little brown package and go on home. I'll deliver it and collect my $1,000 just like the other radio detectives do.
But little brown package very important to prestige and integrity of Chinese. Wong Tong shows extreme honesty in its return. It contains that which is nearest and dearest to Mr. Dale. He left it in our keeping during his visit to our country. It's so sorry. Can't give to Professor Colonna. So sorry.
Oh, Professor, you got me so confused. Really, you have.
Now, Miss Plotz, you were confused before you were ever chased by the Kelowna Corporation. What is it now, my perfumed pigeon?
Well, here you got the little brown men, the little brown package, the little jade idol. Say nothing of that 5-minute blonde. And what happens? The little brown men turn out to be respectable representatives of the Wong Tong. The little brown package evidently isn't a time bomb. The blonde's no bombshell. And the idol, Schmeidel, what happened?
Well, the secret of the whole case was wrapped in that brown paper parcel, Miss Plotz. And the reluctance of Charlie the Coolie to hand over the package is understandable. It would have disrupted the entire business world of the Wong Tong. It would have set a dangerous precedence that could only end in chaos and confusion. It could have robbed the people of our great land of the only words of Chinese dialect known to Americans.
Those words are?
So sorry, no tiki, no laundry.
Many Americans wonder what is happening to the recruiting program now that the Selective Service Act has been passed by Congress. Here are the answers to some of the questions which have been heard most frequently in that connection.
The volunteer enlistment program is going to continue and will be intensified. The Army and the Air Force will continue to rely heavily on volunteers to build up their strength to the new levels now authorized.
Selective Service provides a means for the armed forces to fill the gap between their volunteer recruiting intake and their manpower requirements.
The Army will draft as few men as possible, depending upon the number of voluntary enlistments procured.
The regular Army needs professional soldiers, career men, volunteers who are in the service because they want to be in and who plan to stay in.
If you are a young man of recruiting age and are interested in a career with a secure future, stop in and see your local U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting sergeant today. He will give you all the details and will show you the opportunities offered through enlisting at once in
the United States Army
or the United States Air Force.
This program was brought to you by the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force and starred Jerry Colonna as himself. Voice of the Army thanks Jerry Colonna for his services on this program, which was written by Staff Sergeant Martin Lemon and was directed by Major Hugh K. Murray. This is Joe Ripley speaking.
This program has been another in the series of
The Voice of the Army.